Shabbat Shalom, and what an exciting show we have for you this afternoon. This is a very special Yaakov Shimon Delin Bar Mitzvah edition of the Jewish Experience. It's Parshas Behar, and tomorrow my son Yaakov, at 13 years old, will read the entire Torah portion and prove to the congregation that he's ready to assume the responsibility for all the mitzvahs that God has given the Jewish people. He already gave over a Hasidic discourse this morning. You know, it's kind of amazing what these kids learn in such a short period of time. Well, his bubbies here and his aunts and uncles and cousins all ready to celebrate with him as he takes this important step. And we'll talk about why the number 13 is such a lucky number in Jewish life and a bit of history on the Bar Mitzvah itself. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, and for the next 60 minutes, I'll be your host. Just keep getting ready for Shabbos, and we here at the Jewish Experience will take care of the information and the entertainment. Just give us 1 hour. That's all we ask. Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Moshe Bakar, Chaim Reisner, Dr. Michael Shulman, and Rabbi Yosef Eisner here to get you in the mood to have a great Shabbos experience. We'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio coming up on the half hour. And this week's program is sponsored by the DeLynn family in honor of Yankees Bar Mitzvah, by Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, and by Artistic Photography, getting it right the first time. It's Shabbos Behar, the 11th of Iyar, the 26th day of the Omer, and candlelighting time is no later than 8:16 p.m. And we even have Maestro Moish Bikar back with us this week. What's playing in Moish's music machine, Moishele?
Hi, Hirsch. I just wanted to also wish you a mazel tov for Yaakov Shimon, and to notify you that we're actually making a bas mitzvah for our daughter, Leah Lieber, coming up
mazel
next
tov,
week.
Mazel tov,
mazel tov, Leah Lieber.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, let's get on with the show here on the Jewish Experience. Let's get rolling with Leiv Tahar and Mode Ani.
Mode Ani lefanecho melech ha'ayim et hayom shechez arto b'nishma sirichem lo rabo emunosecho Mode Ani lefanecho melech ha'ayim et hayom shechez arto
Adore Allah, Hashem Olam.
tzir nivra li'eis naso b'chepto kol azay melech shimo nikra adon olam asher molach b'terem kol yitzir nivra li'eis naso b'chepto kol azay melech shimo nikra
Yeah, that was nice. It's amazing, you know, how they do this a cappella. You know, originally when they started, there were a couple of groups doing this a cappella. I did some research and I realized that what they've done is they've taken the music out and left the singing in and then edited everything together to make up a song. What do you think
of
that?
It sounds like an inverse karaoke.
Something like that. Okay, let's do a little more a cappella here on the Jewish Experience.
Oh, 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 oh.
Dam bertoy val khaveiroy malakhay shores medabrim leftoy malakhay shores medabrim leftoy lifnei yakodosh boruchu dam bertoy voy val khaveiroy malakhay shores medabrim leftoy malakhay shores medabrim leftoy lifnei yakodosh boruchu
Oh, 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 oh,
just rocking along here on the Jewish Experience.
Hirsch, I don't know about you, but I'm in the mood for Shabbos.
You're totally into it, and I'm in the mood for a great bar mitzvah with the Yankee, my son.
All right, Yankee, can I start on you?
Before we get started on that, it's time to get started with Rabbi Meir Goldwasser talking this week about the fact that there is always time. There's never too late. And here he is talking about Pesach Sheni. Meir?
This coming Monday, please God, is Pesach Sheni, the second Pesach. It is a day of minor festivity, and certain prayers of supplication are omitted. It is a custom on this day to eat a piece of matzah. What is the origin of Pesach Sheni? The Jewish people left Egypt on Pesach. A year later, when it was time for the second Pesach, the Jewish people were traveling in the desert, and it was there that they were to bring the Pesach sacrifice. One of the stipulations of the Pesach sacrifice is that a person must be ritually pure to be able to participate. A number of people came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said to him, "Lomo nigora, why should we be deprived of bringing the Korban Pesach, the Pesach sacrifice? We are impure today, but we want to do the mitzvah. We want to be together with the other Jewish people." Moshe took their cause before Hashem, and Hashem answered that if anyone is not able to bring the Pesach sacrifice at the proper time, which is the 14th day of the month of Nisan, then they will be able to bring it exactly 1 month later on the 14th day of Iyar. To be sure, the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, is not standing now, and we are not able to bring sacrifices. However, the lesson of Pesach Sheni is very clear for us. Whatever has happened in the past, as long as a person makes a sincere determination to make the present better, Hashem is waiting with open hands to embrace us. A second lesson that we can learn from Pesach Sheni is that when the Jewish people cried out, "Lomo nigora, why should we be denied?" and they cried out with sincerity, that Hashem listened to their plea. Certainly today, if we cry out, "Lomo nigora, why should we be deprived of the arrival of Moshiach?" Hashem will certainly send him to us. This week, we will read the third chapter of Pirkei Avos, The Ethics of the Father. There we are told, a person should be mindful that in the future, he will need to give a judgment and an accounting. And the commentaries ask, generally, first a person must give an accounting, and then comes the judgment. Why does the Mishnah say it in an opposite order? Among the answers that are given is one that the Rebbe from Lubavitch gives. He tells us that the Baal Shem Tov said that Hashem relates to a person just as a shadow mimics the object, and then he deals with a person in the same way that a person deals with others. Thus, after a person has been judged and a verdict has been rendered, the heavenly court considers how this person reacted to others who committed offenses against him. If he was forgiving toward others, then his sentence will be lenient. If he was harsh and unforgiving, he will be shown little mercy. Accounting refers to a scrutiny of how one treated others. This accounting follows the verdict. Another answer is given by the Yismach Moshe, who points out that whereas a person might offer a defense for having sinned, that he was unable to withstand the overwhelming force of temptation, he cannot use this defense for not having done teshuvah, repenting for his sin. After he committed the sin, the temptation was over, and the desire had already been gratified. Why did he now not repent having sinned? The failure to do teshuva may therefore be an even greater offense than the sin itself. The judgment refers to the sin, and the accounting refers to the failure to do teshuva. The two are thus in proper order.
Thank you, Rabbi. I want to remind you, if you've got a bar mitzvah coming up like we do, and you want to get it right the first time, you want Mordechai Saxon's artistic photography. And you can find out more about that at artistic-photography.com. Give him a call for your next simcha. Hey, you know, I promised you that the number 13 in Judaism is different than the secular world, so I'm going to spend a few moments just to bring you up to date on how lucky 13 is. Historically, you know, 13 goes back to the pagan Norse mythology and has made people anxious since that time. But in Judaism, Friday the 13th is considered to be an unusually lucky day. Friday is a very special day because the Sabbath begins on Friday evening and because the Bible mentions that God saw that his creations on this day were very good. So the number 13 has always had special lucky significance in Judaism. A few examples. The Bar Mitzvah, of course, is held at age 13. There are 13 months in the Hebrew lunar calendar. The Bible lists 13 attributes of God. There are 613 commandments. When Israel regained its independence in 1948, the first provisional government was called the Minhelet Ha'am, and it had 13 members for good luck. As the first Jewish government of an independent Israel, the country's founders felt that it would need all the luck they could use. And Maimonides, otherwise known as the Rambam, formulated his famous 13 principles of Judaism. Not 7 principles or 11 principles, but exactly 13 principles. And Friday evening is special because it is the Sabbath, and when everything falls on Friday the 13th, then you have a truly lucky holiday like we had last week. So, Moish, what do you think about that?
Very impressive, Hirsch. I didn't know you could become a rabbi one day if you're not careful.
I think that would be a rough time in the synagogue tonight.
Here's a request from the Delin family, Mazel Tov, of course, and his deaf man in the shtiebel with Leif Tahar. Enjoy.
Just a deaf man in the shtiebel, and to everyone's surprise, he comes to shul each Shabbos, and he prays with tear-filled eyes. His son, he is the chazan, though his voice he's never heard, but he sits there enjoying every word. He watches every motion, every gesture that he makes, and he stays till the very end, however long it takes. And when the davening is over, he's the first to reach his son, and a deaf man in the shtiebel says, "Well done." Now it's right before Yom Kippur, in the shtiebel there is fear. They want to start for Midray, but the chazan's still not there. Oh, the shul is filled with people as the night begins to fall, but the deaf man's chair stands empty by the wall. Then suddenly the chazan
He comes rushing through the door. He's wearing his white chazan that he's never worn before. He pauses for a moment at his father's empty chair, and quietly he wipes away a tear.
And he runs up to the bima, for there's no time left to wait. And half the shul can hear the rabbi ask, how come so late?
Oh, just getting ready for Yom Kippur is all he'd say.
But now I'm going up to pray.
Takes his place around it by the holy Torah ring, and in a voice so beautiful he begins to sing. Oh, every heart was broken, oh, and every soul burned bright from his Kol Nidrei that Yom Kippur night.
And when he finished davening, the rabbi asked to tell, what was it he was thinking of that made him sing so well?
Well, you knew my dad was deaf, he said,
last night he passed away.
It's the first time that my father's heard me pray.
And he takes his place around it by the holy Torah ring, and in a voice so beautiful
he begins to sing.
Oh,
every heart was broken, oh, and every soul burned bright from his Kol Nidrei that Yom Kippur night.
Oh, every heart was broken, oh, and every soul burned bright
from his Kol Nidrei that Yom Kippur night.
On with the show. Here's something for Leah Lieber in honor of her bas mitzvah.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov, Leah. Lecha dodi.
Na 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 na. Shalom, Ateres Bala, Gam Besimcha Utsahola.
Ooh.
Was Lecha Dodi, and as our thoughts turn to peace, we hope for peace in the Holy Land, and now it's time for Israel National News.
A court has extended the remand of Baya Leumi National Home leaders Shai Malka and Ariel Van Gover for their leadership roles in opposing the Gaza-Shomron disengagement plan. The two are being held for allegedly violating laws prohibiting incitement and sedition. Seeking to define acceptable rules of freedom of speech, Attorney General Menachem Mazuz says that calling Prime Minister Ariel Sharon a dictator is acceptable when talking about the plan, as is wearing orange, the color of Gush Katif, but throwing rocks, spitting at police and soldiers, and blocking roads are not. Mazuz is setting the rules of play as opposition to the Gaza-Jenin area disengagement plan increases, warning that people who cross the line, including blocking roads, will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. He was responding to a query by National Union member of Knesset Aryeh Eldad over cases that are now qualified as not criminal. Israel National Radio producer Dovi Holtz was one of hundreds jailed for blocking roads this week. Listen to his account of the experience on the Ellie Stutz and Yishai Fleischer show and the Tovia Singer show on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Defense officials fear extremist elements are behind the disappearance of ammunition and night vision equipment from an armory in the Shomron community of Yitzhar. According to the report in the Daily Haaretz, the items in question were taken on a number of occasions. Security officials fear activists may be stockpiling ammunition to resist the implementation of the disengagement plan north of Jerusalem or to target Arabs in attacks. The report also indicates the missing equipment is what prompted the order to remove the army post from the community a number of months ago, not strained relations between the army and the residents, as was previously reported. Police are also investigating how a motorist acquired tens of Air Force air-to-surface missiles. The military rockets were found in a vehicle in Ashdod. The Army has announced the lifting of the closure on PLO-assigned areas in northern Samaria. The closure was lifted in other PLO-assigned areas after the Remembrance Day Independence Day weekend last week. Arab laborers from the areas will now again be permitted to enter the rest of Israel. Israel is likely to make additional goodwill gestures to the PLO over the objections of Shin Bet Director Yuval Diskin. Following Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's return from Washington later in the month, the cabinet is expected to give its stamp of approval for the additional release of 400 terrorists from prison. Senior army commanders reportedly support concessions despite the increase in shelling attacks in Israel's southern Mediterranean coastal area, explaining that Israel must continue supporting PLO leader Mahmoud Abbas or Abu Mazen, adding that if the Abbas government falls, a stronger Hamas will emerge. America continues exerting pressure on Israel for additional concessions as well, with Special Security Envoy to the PLO, General William Ward, calling on Jerusalem to fulfill Israel's obligations under the roadmap. According to a banner headline report in this weekend's Yediot Ahronot, Israeli soldiers listed as missing in action are not alive. In an interview, retired Army Personnel Chief Major General Gil Regev explains that all parties concerned are quite certain that the MIAs are all dead, but lack absolute proof, so the powers that be prefer to avoid making a formal declaration of death to the families. Regarding the soldiers of the Sultan Yaqub battle in Lebanon, Regev explains that officials are quite certain they fell during the actual battle, but the families' petition to the Supreme Court stopped the military from declaring them dead. Regarding missing Israeli Air Force Navigator Ron Arad shot down over Lebanon, Regev explains it appears based on the facts of the case that he has been dead for some time, apparently the result of a tragic accident, something unplanned by his captors. The same holds true for Guy Heber, who disappeared near the Syrian border. With the deadline for entries behind us, the Labor Party leadership race will offer voters five candidates: current chairman Shimon Peres, Matan Vilnai, Amir Peretz, former Prime Minister Ehud Barak, and Binyamin Ben-Eliezer. The vote is scheduled to take place on June 28th. Shabbat is Yud Bet, or the 12th of Iyar on the Jewish calendar, and the forecast from the Israel National Radio Weather Center, clear with sharav heat and wind conditions Friday, still hotter than usual after a drop in temperatures on Shabbat. Temperatures will go down to cooler than usual by Monday before heading back up on Tuesday. In Jerusalem on Friday, 34 degrees centigrade, 93 Fahrenheit. Tel Aviv and Haifa, 29 degrees centigrade, 84 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
And wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat. Hey, here's something I'll bet you didn't know. During the Talmudic era and the early medieval times, a bar mitzvah ceremony made no sense, like we have today, because a minor was permitted to participate in all religious observances as soon as he was considered mentally fit to do so. He was called up to an aliyah to say blessings over the Torah and was supposed to wear tefillin or phylacteries. The minor was even encouraged to fast on Yom Kippur. 2 years before he turned 13, a child fasted until noon, and a year before his majority, at the age of 13, he fasted the whole day. Until late in the Middle Ages, the attainment of bar mitzvah was an uneventful date in the life of the Jew. So fortunately for Yankee, in his time, it's a big thing, and that's why everybody's in and everybody's looking forward to hearing him tomorrow in the shul. So we are too. And now let's turn to the announcements this week. Moish? I don't know what I did last week without that boom boom stuff. Rabbi Levi Langeron is being honored by the Agudas Yisrael, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Eva Dubinsky, for winning first place in the Senior Short Stories category of the Holocaust Center Arts and Writing Competition. And Bill and Rachel Gassen on the Upshernish, the first haircut where the education of the child officially begins, of their son Moish. The community is invited on Friday, May 27th at 9:30 a.m. at the Yeshiva Preschool on the corner of Forbes and Denniston in Squirrel Hill. Shirley and Owen Katz on the bat mitzvah of their granddaughter Sarah Loffman. Jonathan Levin for receiving the Outstanding Academic Achievement Award at Tepper graduation at the Tepper School of Business Administration at CMU. And A.F. Adler on the bar mitzvah of her grandson, Michael Stahl. Dorita and Emmanuel Kripscher on their son Daniel being chosen as the next president of JTA's board of directors. Finally, Hester and Harry Drucker on the baby naming of their granddaughter, Madeline Nicole. Now, there'll be a community meeting on the Medicare Modernization Act at PZ on Monday, May 23rd at 7:30 p.m. And, of course, the Messiah Mystery, taught by Rabbi Yisrael Altine at the Jewish Community Center, is actually in process now. For more information, call 412-422-7300. And if you live in Fox Chapel or the South Hills, there's a class near you as well. Rabbi Langer's series on the Book of Ruth at Polyzetic Synagogue is also underway. Call 412-420-0220 for information on that series. If you or your organization would like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, please call 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And remember, candlelighting time is 8:16 p.m. And now it's time for AskNoah.org's Dr. Michael Shulman.
The Lubavitcher Rebbe stressed the importance of birthday celebrations. He urged all people to make an appropriate gathering of family and friends on their birthday and to actualize its spiritual potential. When you celebrate your birthday, you should publicize 3 good customs for birthdays: to give more charity, to learn more Torah, and to intensify your divine service of prayer. The sages taught that these are the 3 pillars that the world stands on, and you can use this time to motivate the others to increase in observing the 7 commandments of Noah. What is this celebration all about? You should rejoice and give thanks and praise to God for giving you life in order to serve Him through observing commandments. The Midrash relates, "Most people cherish the day on which they were born and make a party on that day. So make a happy gathering and take on good resolutions, and the power of your birthday, when your mazel is strong, will help guarantee success. Children especially should be taught the spiritual importance of a birthday, and they should celebrate their birthdays with their friends in a way that will increase their knowledge and observance of the 7 laws of Noah. Small children will be even more impressed by this suggestion and will be very enthusiastic in carrying it out. This is especially relevant when a boy reaches his 13th birthday or a girl reaches her 12th birthday, since that is the age of maturity and they become responsible for following God's will. Here are 7 customs for making the most of your birthday. 1. Give some additional charity before praying. 2. Put more time, concentration, and effort into your prayers, meditating on the greatness of the Creator. 3. Read the psalm which corresponds to the new year you are entering, and continue to say this every day. For example, when a person turns 13, he begins reciting Psalm 14. 4. In addition to your regular study schedule, learn an extra lesson of Torah and Hasidic teachings, especially something that explains the 7 commandments of Noah, which relate to all people. 5. Seclude yourself for a while and review your conduct for the past year and your life history to honestly see what needs repentance or improvement and make good resolutions for the future. 6. Since it is proper to accept a new aspect of religious observance on Rosh Hashanah, the birthday of Adam and Chava, one may deduce from this that on an individual's personal Rosh Hashanah, his birthday, the same should apply. So, accept upon yourself to do some new acts of goodness and kindness, and to more carefully observe some aspect of your own commandments, making sure that your goals are realistic. 7. Make a joyful party with your family and friends, give praise and thanks to God, and thank Him for your food before eating and after. And finally, don't forget to make a visit to asknoah.org and encourage others to do the same. May our good actions on our birthdays help to speedily bring the ultimate true redemption.
Thank you, Dr. Shulman. Here's a little jingle for our bar mitzvah boy, Yankee. 2, 3, and Yankee, Yankee. Happy bar mitzvah, oh yeah. Yankee, Yankee. A mazel, mazel tov, oh yeah. Yankee,
I said Yankee.
Yankee, mazel, mazel tov, oh yeah. Yankee, oh Yankee. Mazel, mazel tov, oh yeah.
Hey, Yanks, he talked me into it. It wasn't my choice.
And now for some real music.
Yamama!
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 Yamama, 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 ya mama, 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 ya mama, 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 ya mama, ya mama, ya mama,
yeah, mama.
And continuing now with a moment in Jewish history, here's the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen. Rabbi?
In 1944, mainly during the Sfira period, 450,000 Hungarian Jews were brutally murdered by the Germans in Auschwitz. The deportation and murder of the Hungarian Jews is one of the best-known aspects of the Holocaust. There is extensive documentation and much survivor testimony. In fact, more Jews survived from Hungary than from any other country under German rule. Sadly, the Holocaust of the Hungarian Jews is unique and tragic for several reasons. First, it began late in the war when both the Germans and the world knew that the defeat of the Nazis was a matter of time. Indeed, the beginning of the end, the D-Day invasion of Normandy, took place during the height of the Hungarian Jews' gassing. In fact, Hitler was so zealous in killing Jews that he ordered much-needed trains be used for transporting Jews to Auschwitz rather than for the defensive needs of the German army. This foolhardy decision caused Germany to lose the war more quickly. Second, unlike the previous killings in Poland and the Soviet Union, which were carried out in relative secrecy and isolation, the deportation of Hungarian Jews took place openly before the entire world. Third, by 1944, the world knew what was taking place in Auschwitz. Many Hungarian Jews had also heard of it, although many also refused to believe that it could happen with the complicity of Hungary, a country to which they felt great loyalty and attachment. Fourth, the Hungarian final solution was carried out with the greatest speed of all the Jewish killings in the Holocaust. 12,000 Jews were deported daily, with the least manpower. German participation was minuscule. Eichmann's staff in Hungary consisted of only 48 SS men who were aided by 20,000 Hungarian soldiers. At the Nuremberg trial, one of the Germans remarked that if the Hungarians had refused to cooperate, the German goals would have been impossible to achieve. The Germans divided Hungary into 6 zones and deported Jews from 5 of them. Zone 6 was Budapest and its 250,000 Jews, who largely survived with the help of righteous Gentiles Raoul Wallenberg and Karl Lutz, who used their diplomatic status to protect the Jews.
Thank you, Rabbi Eisen. Hope you got a pen and paper ready, because here is the most delicious, delightful, and tasty recipes from our very own Chef Reisner.
I think this Shabbos we're going to do something a little extra special. How about stuffed breast of veal and Shabbos morning corn muffins? Here we go for the veal. 1 6-pound breast of veal with the bones left on and all excess fat removed. 1 small loaf of challah pulled apart and moistened with water. 3 stalks of washed celery, French cut, 1/2 inch. 1 Spanish onion, coarsely chopped. 3 carrots peeled and French cut. 3 eggs and 2 tablespoons of curry powder. 1 tablespoon of sea salt. 1 tablespoon of black pepper. 1 tablespoon of baking powder. And 1 tablespoon of baking soda. 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil. To prepare, saute all of the vegetables in a large pan in the olive oil until soft. Add the spices. Saute for another minute or two. Remove, place in a large bowl. Add the eggs, the baking powder and the soda, the wet challah, mix well, and stuff the veal. Simply pull the veal beef up, and between the beef and the bones, you'll find a large pocket. Try to get all of the stuffing in, and at the very end, using a wooden or a metal skewer, try to secure the end so the stuffing will not come out. Take a large pan, put a wire rack inside, and add water up to the rack. Place the veal on top of the rack. Put an aluminum foil tent over the top and bake in the middle of the oven at 350 for at least 2 hours. For the last 15 minutes, remove the aluminum foil and brown the top of the veal. Now, to make a gravy, add a half a cup of flour to a quarter of a cup of olive oil, then all the juices that are in the bottom of the pan from the veal, and more water if necessary. Stir well until it's thickened. Now for the corn muffins. 1 cup of cornmeal, 1 cup of Crisco or shortening, 1.5 cups of milk or coffee rich boiled, 3 eggs, 1.5 cup of flour or more, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 cup of sugar, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, and 1 cup of raisins or chocolate chips, and 1 teaspoon of cinnamon. Now, you want to put the cornmeal in a mixing bowl, add the boiling milk, add the sugar, add the Crisco, and stir well. Add all the other ingredients until it's thick, pour into the muffin pans, bake in a 250-degree oven for at least 15 minutes or more. Test with a wooden skewer. If it's moist, leave it in a while longer. If it's dry, they're finished. These are both my favorite recipes from my family. They request it all the time. And that's that, Hirsch. And you made it.
Thanks, Chaim. You know, for your next Simcha, you might want to check out chaimskosherkitchen.com, where you can actually see in detail all those delicious recipes that he's been talking about. And, of course, if you are having a Simcha, you want to call Artistic Photography by Mordechai Saxon if you want to get it right the first time. That's artistic-photography.com. Go navigate over there and see what he's got going for you. And by the way, you know, all around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association, and they work closely with area rabbis. As you know by now, they have developed special packages with synagogues just for you, which saves quite a bit on the cost of a funeral, should you, God forbid, ever need one. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. And Deborah Price, the funeral home supervisor, was born and raised in Pittsburgh, and she wanted to come back here just to make sure she can serve you. Did you know that Burton Hirsch is also involved with the community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home. That's Burton Hirsch at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. That's Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600, Deborah Price, supervisor. And continuing some things that you probably didn't know about the Bar Mitzvah and the Bar Mitzvah ceremony and how it came about. During the later Middle Ages, this Bar Mitzvah thing that we do now underwent a change. The religious rights that the Talmud accorded to the minor were now restricted. He was deprived of the right to be called up to the reading of the Torah. He was no longer permitted to wear tefillin. The attainment of 13 gained new importance as an attainment of new religious rights. And the ground was prepared for a ceremony around the Bar Mitzvah as a boy 13 years old was beginning to be called. In the 16th century, among the Jews of Germany and Poland, it was accepted custom that a boy could not even begin to wear tefillin before the day following his 13th birthday. Well, this custom was modified in the 17th century. The boy began wearing tefillin 2 or 3 months before he became a bar mitzvah, so that by the time he reached his majority, he was well acquainted with the practice and rules of laying tefillin. And, you know, that's what we do today, Moish.
Very inspirational, Hirsch. And there you have it from our very
research
own
director.
Research director and program producer, Hirsch DeLynn. Mazel tov to you and your family
Thank
on
you
your upcoming
you.
Simcha.
Na 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 na
You've shown once again We're united and strong, but the hour is late, time is moving along. So till next year, dear friends, till we meet here again.
through our door, to reach out and touch it with love.
There's a small piece of heaven in everyone's heart, a glorious gift from the Lord.
Don't forget, you can email me your future musical selections for an upcoming show. You can visit me at www.musicalmoish.com and email me your future selections.
And now for a very special story on one of the most important themes of the Bar Mitzvah, the wearing of tefillin, here once again is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser. Rabbi?
As we of the Jewish experience are celebrating the Bar Mitzvah of Yaakov Shimon Delin, the son of our devoted director, Hirsch Delin, I would like to tell a story today that focuses on a bar mitzvah theme. One of the most apparent mitzvahs that a person must wait to fulfill until they become bar mitzvah is the mitzvah of tefillin. Tefillin contains within it sections of the Torah written on parchment. Because of their great sanctity, it is necessary to wait until a person becomes bar mitzvah when they're able to put these tefillin on with reverence. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh, one of the very great sages, was a very poor man. And as his life was coming to an end, he was concerned for the welfare of his wife. How will she be able to support herself? He called her over and said, "After I pass away, if you are in need of money, I want you to sell my tefillin. I am recognized throughout the Jewish community as a holy man, and I know that there will be people who will give you a large sum of money to be able to purchase my tefillin. With this money, you will be able to live comfortably through the rest of your life." After the Or HaChaim HaKadosh passed away, and there came a time when his wife was no longer able to have money, she heeded her husband's words and sold his tefillin. However, the Or HaChaim had made one stipulation. Whoever purchases the tefillin must agree to only speak matters of holiness, of Torah and mitzvahs, while they are wearing the tefillin. His wife was able to sell the tefillin for a large sum of money, and the person agreed wholeheartedly to keep to this condition. A number of years passed, and the man was very careful to only speak matters of sanctity while he was wearing the Or HaChaim's tefillin. However, one day, one of his workers came to him in the synagogue and said it was most important that he speak to him. The man showed with his hand that he was not able to discuss anything right then. However, the worker persisted, and finally the man answered his worker. The next day, when the person came and put on the tefillin, he did not feel the same holiness as he had felt previously. He felt maybe that it was just the day that he wasn't feeling in the spirit of the time. However, the next morning, again, he felt the lack of holiness when he put on the tefillin. At this point, he took the Or HaChaim's tefillin to a sofer, to a scribe, and asked him to check the parchments inside. When the sofer opened up the tefillin, to their disbelief, he saw that the tefillin were now empty of their parchments. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
And a couple of reminders, there is a community meeting on the Medicare Modernization Drug Coverage Plan at PZ Monday, May 23rd at 7:30 p.m. Also, the Messiah Mystery, taught by Rabbi Yisrael Altine at the Jewish Community Center, 412-422-7300 for more information. If you live in Fox Chapel or the South Hills, there's a class near you as well. Rabbi Langer's series on the Book of Ruth at Polyzetic Synagogue, call 412-420-0220 for more information on that series. A quick reminder, if you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can call 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And for your next Simcha, don't forget Artistic Photography with Mordechai Saxon. That's artistic-photography.com on the Internet. And as we wrap up this special Bar Mitzvah edition of the Jewish Experience, I wish to wish my son, Yaakov Shimon, much hatzlacha as he prepares to read his portion of the Torah tomorrow morning. I know he'll make us all proud of him. He worked very hard for many months to prepare for this day, and we all know he's ready. And I certainly want to thank my very special and lovely wife, Gila, who did a superhuman job of preparing for Yankee's special day while homeschooling our kids, keeping everyone fed and happy. A grace a hug goes out from me to you. And, of course, to my amazing daughters as well, who pitched in and helped. Incredible. Time is moving on, and you have such great kids. It's a great thing. On behalf of Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, Musical Director Moshe Bakar, Dr. Michael Shulman, and Chef Chaim Reisner, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, reminding you that candlelighting this week is no later than 8:16 p.m. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat.
Shalom. Shabbat.